The League of Legends betting podcast is brought to you by my patrons at patreon.com/gelatilol. There you can find bonus content like in-depth articles on macro trend analysis and league previews, as well as thoughts on breaking news and the podcast picks before the show is released to platforms. You also get to support your creators more directly. patreon.com/gelatilol. That's G-E-L-A-T-I-L-O-L. All right, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you guys are checking this out. Actually, probably in the morning. I'm recording this in between games for the Eastern slate on Friday morning, March 22nd. I forgot to mention on yesterday's show, I'll be honest with you, because I partially forgot that it was Friday and Saturday and not Saturday and Sunday, that we have LCS as well. So what I'm going to do here is we're going to do a somewhat shorter podcast here. I'm going to be covering actually Friday and Saturday's LCS slates because I believe that's what the DraftKings slate is going to be. Also, it's just easier for me to get something ahead, and there's not going to be a whole lot of moving pieces in regards to that. Unlike the LEC is probably going to be a separate show later tomorrow night if I even get to one because I've got a lot going on tomorrow. I will probably get one. It's just going to be very, very late Friday night or early Saturday morning. And it'll be like its own standalone thing. LPL and LCK show will be out as normal tomorrow. But, so we're going to be doing the Friday and Saturday LCS playoff matches on this show today. I'll have a recap of the Eastern slate from this morning that's currently happening as I'm recording this, on the later show once I get a chance to review the games. All right, so the first match tomorrow, perhaps a battle of the two teams that I hate the most in the LCS, which is definitely going to paint my opinion of this match, but let's look at the odds first here. We have 100 Thieves, minus 112 on the money line, short favorites here, minus 1.5 mass at plus 202, the plus 1 has a minus 260, the 100 Thieves sweep is at plus 612, and they are minus 951 to take a map. Against Team Liquid, minus 108 on the money line, plus 1.5 maps is at minus 253. The minus 1.5 is at plus 207, plus 1.5, minus 253. The Team Liquid sweep is at plus 618, and Team Liquid to take a map is at minus 939. So, 100 Thieves are undefeated as favorites outside of a series. In a series, they are... Am I getting this right? Oh, yeah. In a series, they're actually, they've lost against the map spread in a series two because they were short favorites in that for second playoff series. Team Liquid have covered the map spread in their one playoff series. They are 2-4 straight up as underdogs this season on maps. So, this is an interesting, interesting handicap. I wrote a whole ass dissertation on this, and the TLDR on this match is that I am way, way biased against 100 Thieves here. So, you ask why. There's a couple reasons for this. Partially because I have a really, really difficult time believing in teams that rely on kills for their economy. At the same time, if you look at the economic stats here, 100 Thieves have an edge in the economic, you know, measures here, including the one that I give the most credence to, which is Agnostic Economy. Now, what's interesting about 100 Thieves is they have a decent raw agnostic economy. They have 1651 agnostic gold per minute, which is like respectable. That's like good team. That's like good team territory. It's not great. It's just like good team, right? Now, their agnostic gold differential is only plus 15. That's gold differential per minute. Liquid have a better gold differential per minute. They're creating better advantages for themselves, plus 31. Gold different, ultimately not all that huge a difference, but their raw gold per minute agnostic is actually lower at 1632. Economically, these two teams are very, very even. The model likes Team Liquid because Team Liquid have excellent objective control. They have Great Dragon, Baron, and Herald control. They actually rank first in the league in Dragon and Herald control. Trade-off here is reconciling Liquid's inability to get leads early with any kind of consistency, right? You look at kind of, you know, I have all of this laid out visually for Patreon subscribers in the win-loss analysis section of each match. I post these for each and every match on the major slates as soon as I have enough data to do so, which is usually after the first couple weeks. You look at the win-loss analysis for this, it's very interesting, right? These two teams each have four quality wins, less than, or about, a third of each of their wins grading as quality, which is actually not bad. It's a little below average. Each have a couple blowout wins. 100 Thieves have 4 lucky graded wins. The way the model the way we come up with lucky graded wins is basically a comeback of greater than a standard deviation. I think it's 1.25 standard deviations. So I might be wrong. I think it's 1. I forget, to be honest with you. But it basically calculates, like, you know, did this team come back from a statistically very significant deficit? And did they win a game that they had no business winning from an economical standpoint? Obviously, this does not factor in the drafts. It does not factor in whatever. This is not a qualitative, subjective thing. It's just looking at data and, you know, statistically which games they should win and shouldn't, what games they should win or that they win that they shouldn't have won. I apologize. I can't speak. It's very early in the morning. Midnight in my case. TL have a couple lucky wins themselves. And what's interesting about TL is that the way they play the game, you would think that they have more given their record, but, you know, and the way 100 Thieves play, you'd think that they have fewer over their record. But 100 Thieves, they have a few wins that they have four of these lucky graded wins. They have 4 quality wins. They only have a lead at 20 in half their games. Now, a little more than half of those games, it's a statistically significant lead at 20, which is notable. The interesting thing here, and something that's really, really difficult to reconcile with Team Liquid, is Team Liquid only have a lead of any kind at 20 minutes in 36.4% of their games, right? Now, what I want to point out with this, and this requires some amount of context, and I hope the people that read the Patreon are listening to this, because I didn't mention this in the Patreon post, but that requires a little bit of context. You know, it's not always a perfect measure. It's just like a snapshot, right? This is any lead at 20 minutes. It could be 2 gold. It could be 2,000 gold. Statistically significant amount is there for a reason. They only have an 18.2% in that. So what this means is when you look down at the next section of this where I have quality losses, 100 Thieves only have 2 quality losses. Both of them came in their last playoff series against NRG. Quality loss essentially being like a quality win in baseball where it's like it works in reverse to quality wins here, which is like, you keep the game close, it's within striking distance, it's economically winnable for you, right? Again, doesn't have context, doesn't allow for compositional setups, etc. When you consider the kind of stuff that Liquid play, they play a lot of like lane dominant stuff, but like scaling, they don't like to skirmish early if they can help it. They just prefer to like grind out advantages, sneak dragons, and then do it that way. And then, you know, group is 5 only for the objective and then go back to it. They don't do any, there's no extracurricular activities with Team Liquid, right? All very straightforward, very by the book. Sometimes they mess it up. They're not the cleanest team in the world, but it's very by the book. They don't always have scaling advantages in drafts, but they do lean that way. They try to have a better scaling composition in every draft that they have almost. They're just not a great up-tempo team. What you were looking for in a team that's not a good up-tempo team, I should rephrase this. What you're looking for in a team that's good at scaling, like playing, you know, the LS quote of like playing a control deck, right? In League of Legends terms, what you're looking for in teams that are going to play that style and going to be good at it, one of the ones I always point to is like, you know, Hanwha Life from last year or LNG from 2023 as well. They were very good at never getting themselves too far behind in games and keeping their agnostic economy up and keeping their rest of game gold differential high. Essentially, like, they minimize losses early in the game. They do a really good job of staving off explosive advantages from their enemies. And they make every game into a coin flip that's slightly weighted in their favor because they usually have a better scaling composition. That's one way to play the game. I think it's ultimately teams have to develop another aspect of the game. That's a whole different conversation I'm not going to go into right now. But that's what Liquid are seeking to do in most of their games, right? They're relatively well controlled. This team does close a lot better than the 2023 iteration does. They're not without their warts. They still have their issues. I promise you that. But this is a team that closes better than the other one last year's did. They also have no huge throw losses. I would maybe qualitatively grade one of their losses as one of those. So really what we have here is 2 completely different teams. 100 Thieves, you can't look at 100 Thieves at their averages. Like, in other words, what I'm saying here is 100 Thieves are a volatile team. They're feast or famine. They either do everything that they're supposed to do and, you know, dominate and everything's going in their favor and they win, or they get completely smashed. Now, we know a couple of other teams like that, KT Rolster, OMG a little bit, Invictus in the LPL. There's a couple other teams that Vitality and LEC Winter, they're kind of stabilizing now, but these volatile teams, you just have to know what you're getting into. When you look at their averages, like their net on net overall average performance in something, it's lying to you. 100 Thieves don't play average games. They don't. As a matter of fact, like the last like median versus the league game grade that they've had in the LCS was back in like week 2. Like, this team does not play like normal looking games, and that's in large part by design. Like, they just play this super volatile, super aggressive, you know, high kill barroom brawl, like solo queue style of game. It's just the what they want to do. They drag people into it. It's what they do, right? Liquid, you look at Liquid and their game grades. Liquid are essentially, Liquid have had like one or two outlier good performances, one or two outlier bad performances. And most of their other like poor performances were earlier in the season. They have a whole lot of games that are like steady above average games. That's more like what they do. They're a much more, we know what we're getting here. They're probably going to be slightly above average game grade. In a best of five, if you have a big underdog, you want volatility. It's the same kind of principle that we've been talking about with KT Rolster. In a best of five, if you want that as an underdog, you don't want that as a favorite. It would not shock me at all to see 100 Thieves flip heads like three or four times in this series and get there. But I will take the consistent team. I will take the overall player quality on Liquid. I like Liquid quite a bit here. Now, I wrote in the Patreon post that like this is almost, you know, the model actually made Liquid a minus 174 favorite, which is kind of shocking to me, but it's primarily off the back of like Liquid's objective control being excellent. Which is incredible for a team that doesn't like to scrap early, mind you. I'll just keep that in mind. It's a little weird, man. Like, I think both these teams are somewhat fraudulent, but I think 100 Thieves are way, way more fraudulent. And, you know, I'll admit, like, maybe this is just some bias on my end. I just think, like, Liquid are a more consistent team. And I never in a million years thought I'd say that. But you just, like, just look at the games. I think people get blinded by the fact that 100 Thieves are like the new hotness. They're like the new thing. They're going to have, they have the mid and jungle are the all pro first team all pro, you know, and I'll admit like Quid and River are excellent, and it scares the bejesus out of me to think of Quid and River just abusing the shit out of APA every game. Trust me, that scares the shit out of me. But this Liquid team looked a lot better in their last match. I'll admit like Dignitas looked like they straight up choked it away. Like, they were tilted after that first game loss, which they probably shouldn't have lost, by the way. But anyway, I just think like Liquid's consistency is going to win out. I think their player quality is going to win out. I think Impact is going to welcome Sniper to the big leagues. You know, we saw how Sniper measured up in a playoff series. It wasn't great. He did okay against Dokla, but I didn't think Dokla had a particularly good series. I have a lot. It's bizarre as shit because I can't stand APA, and this Liquid team frustrates the hell out of me. But I took some time after looking at this initially, and I was like, you know what, man? Like, my gut is telling me this Liquid this Liquid money line is just a smash price. I'm not gonna play it super heavy duty. Like, my intuition's telling me to just, like, smash Liquid. Like, 100 Thieves are pure frauds. They're just going to get their shit kicked in. I didn't go that heavy, but I am going to trust my gut and actually back Liquid. I wouldn't suggest tailing this. There's no logic. I can't reconcile the data necessarily. Like, it doesn't add up, right? Like, logically, none of this adds up. Like, if anything, this should just be, like, a pass. These two teams are pretty evenly matched by pretty much everything you can come across. I just have a feeling where I think 100 Thieves are just going to completely buckle under the pressure. Now, I kind of thought that with Energy. They beat Energy. I backed Energy. I lost money on that series. I was right on Cloud9. I don't think 100 Thieves and Energy were good at all in that series. I don't think either team was good. It was an entertaining series, but neither of them were particularly good in that series. Liquid came out and probably should have lost game one, but then decisively dispatched Dignitas in the second two games. I would take the, in a best of five, I will take the consistency and the experience, like, almost every time, as, like, at, like, an even money price like this, unless there's a specific mismatch that I'm worried about. I'm a little bit worried about that Quid River versus APA kind of deal, but I think Umti can kind of manage it and make it not so big a deal, hopefully. There's a good chance I just look like an asshole tomorrow after this match happens and 100 Thieves go on and win, or Liquid throw game five in some tragic fashion, but I can't, you know, I've been doing this long enough that I kind of trust my gut, maybe a little too much sometimes. I don't do a whole lot of that, but my intuition's telling me Liquid smash here. So I played Liquid Moneyline -108 for 1.08 units and Liquid -1.5 maps at +207 for 0.25 units. Notably, I am not playing Kill Total Overs here. I think the market's adjusted enough to the point where I think this is probably around where it should be. Model made this pretty close to fair on those, but the model's been having trouble quantifying this patch. You still have macro headwinds working in your favor. You still have the fact that 100 Thieves have gone over in almost all their games, but I think Liquid's approach to this series is going to be to just slow the game down to a crawl and only fight at objectives and not get pulled into 100 Thieves' game. And if they're going to do that, then I just don't... If you like 100 Thieves, I think I'd probably play overs. If you like Liquid, I would just play the Liquid side and not play Kill Totals. Because I think the under is somewhat correlated to Liquid winning decisively. I don't think it's like a super strong one in this case. So I'm not playing any of the derivatives, but I played Liquid in this contest. It's a little bit... Really, this is highly speculative. Like, if I'm just blind-tailing the model and trusting the model tells me to play Liquid. So it's a little weird that I feel so odd doing this. And maybe I should be listening to that part of my intuition here. But I think Liquid are a better team. I do. I really think 100 Thieves are just, like, the new hot thing that are everyone's gravitated toward. Look, if you look at, like, the market price for these matches, it's been insane. Like, the fluctuations in, like, the market perception of teams in the LCS has been just, like, bananas. There's a ton of volatility here. I just don't think, like, and you guys should know this, like, I don't think Liquid are that good, but I do think they're the best of the rest, and I think they're going to get the job done here. Really, really weak handicap for the 16 minutes or whatever I just talked about it, I know, but I really just think, I think Liquid are going to get there. And if APA ends up losing this for me, then, you know, I deserve it. That's why I'm not playing it heavier. Saturday in the LCS, we have another playoff match here, this time between the two teams that I think everybody thought were the two best teams going into the playoffs, and that perception has wildly changed based on these prices. We have FlyQuest, Moneyline, +221, +1.5 maps at -109. The -1.5 is at +467. We'll say FlyQuest to take a game is at -404, and the sweep is at +1245. Cloud9, -280 on the money line, -1.5 maps at -111. -2.5, the sweep is at +306. The +1.5 is at -670. So, obviously, Cloud9 came out absolutely thunderfucked 100 Thieves and their, you know, playoff debutant with that roster. Kind of saw that coming. I was super heavy duty on it. I just want to remind people, you know, I'll touch on this in a little bit. I'll get to this part. I'll cover the rest of this first. FlyQuest obviously coming off of a series against Team Liquid where they got the victory, but it was not pretty. It was one of those series where, you know, I was honestly kind of shocked. I was pretty heavy on FlyQuest to win that series, and not as heavy as I was on Cloud9 to win their series, but I was pretty heavy on FlyQuest to win and kind of solidify the concept that, you know, C9 and FlyQuest are cut above the rest of the LCS. And they just looked like shit. They played very, very poorly in that series. I'll give them credit because they played poorly and still won, which maybe says kind of exactly the concept that I'm illustrating, which is you have Cloud9 in a tier by themselves, then FlyQuest below them, and then the field below them in a separate tier. That's kind of the way I see the LCS, but, you know, I think that's up to interpretation. I think there's some people that would say it's a lot more nebulous than that and not as stratified. I just disagree with that. Even if I throw out Cloud9's shellacking of 100 Thieves, it made them favorites, like north of -200. It didn't get quite as close to the market price that we're seeing here, but with everything included, the model made this pretty close to the market price. It made Cloud9 minus 263, and I made Cloud9 minus 232 and FlyQuest plus 177. So it did show value on FlyQuest in this series, like from a quantitative perspective. FlyQuest have pretty good, you know, all their economy numbers are good. Their objective control numbers are good. One series isn't going to change all of that. The thing here is I think Cloud9, really a lot of this just depends on your opinion of Cloud9. I think Cloud9, for me personally, are a cut above everyone. I think they're the only like truly good team in the LCS. I think the problem is they dropped more than a couple games. They dropped a handful of games this season and, you know, best of one regular season games, and all of a sudden everyone's out. Everyone's like, oh, no, you know what? They're frauds too. They're not as good as everyone thought. Now, all season long, we're hearing a steady drumbeat behind the scenes that they were just shit-stomping everyone behind the scenes. Everyone's losing to them in scrims. Nobody could beat them. They dropped a couple really weird, bizarre games on stage. Even in that week, even in that two-week span where they lost like 5 out of 6 games, their numbers didn't really take a hit. They weren't like super fluky losses or anything, but their numbers were still very, very good, which kind of suggests that, I don't know, they kind of just got the bad end of variance a little bit. Your eyes told you a different story, but I personally think that, you know, when a team can uphold that kind of measure and their numbers just don't take a dip after losing 5 out of 6, that tells you that it's probably a good team that's just running a little bad at the moment. We kept going to bat with Cloud9. I lost a bunch of money going to bat with them during that losing streak for those exact reasons, but we made a lot of that back. Fading, you know, backing them against 100 Thieves. And I'll remind people, they were minus 165 against 100 Thieves. I mentioned it earlier, but some of the pricing that we've seen in the LCS playoffs is hilarious to me. Like, Cloud9 are now bigger favorites over. So I think before the playoffs started, everyone perceived like Cloud9 and FlyQuest as the best team. I think a lot of people thought FlyQuest might be the best team, right? Cloud9 are now bigger favorites against FlyQuest than any of the favorites were favored over anybody last week. And that includes Liquid minus 220 over Dignitas, FlyQuest minus 202 against Liquid, and Cloud9 minus 165 against 100 Thieves. Give yourself that like time to think about that, like just some context, right? It is like Cloud9 completely dominate 100 Thieves, and all of a sudden everyone's like, oh yeah, that's the team everyone thought they were. Is that all it took, really? Because, like, you know, the numbers said that was the case the whole time. You know, the numbers aren't gospel, but, you know, I think here we pay a little bit more attention to that kind of stuff. The fact of the matter is, like, if you think Cloud9 are back and that you don't think last week was just some fluky thing because, like, 100 Thieves were a playoff debutant, they, you know, got welcomed to they got little brothered, essentially. If you don't think that was the case and you think Cloud9 are, you know, just they were just taking advantage of a new playoff team, a new roster, an inexperienced roster, and that they're still kind of that inconsistent team we saw some from regular season, then you probably shouldn't back this. If anything, I'd back FlyQuest in this series because they have the higher seed. They have side choice for this series and everything. I'm going the other way because I think Cloud9 are back. I don't think that was just some fluky thing. I think it was a kind of a combination of both, right? If it was just 100 Thieves being relatively new to the game and inexperienced, we probably would have saw, you know, at least some competition in that series, and we saw nothing. That series was closed for about 2 minutes total in 3 games. Cloud9 completely shit-stomped 100 Thieves in that series, right? FlyQuest struggled really hard with Liquid, won the series, but I think it was a handful of their worst games of the season. Now, if you think FlyQuest are going to suddenly bounce back, or if you want to buy the dip on FlyQuest, or you think that that was maybe a series that wasn't necessarily like indicative of what we've seen from them, and you think that we're probably more likely to see something halfway between, you know, what we saw with FlyQuest in the regular season and what we saw last week, then it's probably maybe a lean to FlyQuest. But to me, if you think FlyQuest are struggling right now, I think on like neutral field with these two teams, like average for the season, then the market price is reasonable here. I think it's pretty close to fair. I am more bullish qualitatively on Cloud9 than pretty much anybody I know. I'm not, maybe not quite as bullish as the model is, but, or, you know, I'm not bullish on Cloud9 in some ways as much as the model. But in other ways I am, right? Like, in other words, like, I think qualitatively they're the only team that does a little bit of everything in the LCS, and everybody else is one dimensional. Nobody else in the LCS has that up-tempo look. Nobody else does. And if you can stop it, cool, that's fine. FlyQuest are capable of stopping it, but I don't think they're going to be able to do so with any kind of consistency whatsoever. I think Cloud9 just kind of hit on a different axis than every other LCS team does. You kind of have that working in your favor with 100 Thieves too, but it's like a less consistent way to hit on a different axis, I guess. It's kind of like a screwball. Like, it's not a super reliable pitch, right? Cloud9 just have everything in their arsenal. They can do everything well. They can play the slower control games. They can play the up-tempo looks. They're really, really annoying to draft against. And, you know, FlyQuest have their own wrinkles, and I have respect for FlyQuest, but I kind of think that FlyQuest are probably going to be somewhere halfway between what we saw last week and what we saw during the regular season. And if that's the case and we see Cloud9 in good form as opposed to, like, what we saw during the regular season, I think this number should be, like, north of 500. So, like, if we see good Cloud9 against the, you know, below average FlyQuest, or a FlyQuest that's, like, you know, worse than they were during the regular season and closer to what they were last week, Cloud9 are going to shit stomp this series and probably win 3-0. I personally think that's fairly likely here. I think there's going to be a Cloud9 3-1 or 3-0, because I think, you know, if FlyQuest can make up the difference, you know, from last week to, like, their regular season performance and meet somewhere in the middle, and Cloud9 are in good form, then this is a short price. So I played Cloud9 on the money line -263 for 2.63 units, and I played Cloud9 -1.5 maps at -110 for 0.1 units. With this setup, we're basically going to lose a tenth of a unit if Cloud9 win 3-2, and we'll net 2 if they win 3-1 or 3-0. So I really do think a Cloud9 3-0 is on the table. I think this team, if they play like they did last week, they're going to beat everybody in this league, and it's not going to be close. I think it's theirs to lose. I kind of think this is a little bit like the Celtics in the Eastern Conference, where they've had a couple games this year where, you know, they make you scratch your head and be like, wait, is this really the best team in this conference? But then you kind of, like, take a step back and look at it, and, like, no one else is going to beat this team. Like, no one's going to beat this team. If they don't beat themselves, no one's beating Cloud9. That's all there is to it, really. So I'm probably going to be backing Cloud9 all the way through, unless the prices get too outrageous. So just another note here, the model likes kill total unders, but I also think that's kind of strongly correlated to Cloud9 winning, and I'm already on Cloud9 winning. So if you're not going to play a side in this and you think the market's fair on that, then, but you're, like, leaning Cloud9, maybe kill total unders are a play. If you like FlyQuest, FlyQuest have had a ridiculous 37.25 combined kills per game and over a combined kill per minute since week 6. They had a 50 burger in the series last week against Liquid. You know, I don't know if that's just because the playoffs are jacking up the intensity, or if the patch 14.5 is really just having an increased effect in North America, or maybe it's just that everyone in North America sucks and this is just solo queue clown fiesta region. I don't know, but I should note that the two meetings between these two teams during the regular season, there was a combined 23 kill win for FlyQuest and a combined 15 kill win for Cloud9. So if that's kind of more what we're going to see, then unders are going to be a slam dunk here, especially at the ridiculous prices we're getting. I think the total's 27 in this game. Let me see. One moment here. 25.5 is the -115 on each side total. So I would lean under. The model made it a double-digit edge on market. I'm kind of adjusting for the macro environment that we're in here. But I just think FlyQuest are in trouble here. I think they're catching Cloud9 at the wrong time. If this happened a couple weeks ago, I think I would have liked FlyQuest, but no, I think Cloud9 are back. And I might be suffering a little bit from bullishness and confirmation bias a little bit, but, like, I think if the thing is, like, if Cloud9 are in form, no one beats them in this league. That's all you need to think about. So, like, the ball is on their racket, so to speak, and I just want to be on that side of things, and if I need to get out of it, then I can get out of it live. So, I didn't even go into all this stuff, but, like, Cloud9's early game, back to good. They're above 1,700 agnostic economy. Black Quest have dropped off precipitously since the regular season, really since the halfway point of the regular season. Cloud9, over 90% closing rate. They have a lead at 20 in 64% of their games. They have a significant lead at 20 in 47% of their games. They have 7 blowout wins. That's 63% of their games this season. Like, almost every single Cloud9 game is accounted for as a quality win, a blowout win, or a quality loss. Like, that's insane. So, yeah, I think their record is not illustrating how good this team actually is. I think they just had a few weird wins, and, you know, the market is woefully underrating them. So, with Cloud9, we ride. With Liquid, we ride. If you want to parlay those two, I'm probably going to put a couple shekels on that, a pizza maybe, just to plant my flag on those opinions. But that's going to be it for the LCS. I'm going to be back later on today with the LPL and LCK for tomorrow, and I will likely be doing an LEC show separate late Friday night. It'll probably be a short, like, 10-minute or so podcast on just the LEC for Saturday once I review the Friday games. Good luck, and I will see you then.